Hallelujah. Good morning, Glory and Peace Church. Joy-filled, blessed Thanksgiving to everyone this morning. Who is thankful here this morning? Hallelujah. God is good. Father, we worship you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are in this place. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Mountain mover, Jehovah.
time. Oh yeah, so you are good all the time, all the time. You are good, yeah, you are good all the time, all the time. Oh yeah, you are good, you are, oh, you are good all the time, all the time. You are good, oh yeah, you are good all the time, all the time. You are. Thankfulness and gratefulness through this song to him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Sing, I love you, Lord.
To one. Let it be.
You're not a man, no. You're not a man, no. You're the God who opens doors no man can shut. You're not a man, no. You're not a man, no. You're the God of everything, no one like you. Sing with me, you're not a man. You're not a man, no. You're not a man, no. You're the God. You're the God who opens doors no man can shut. You're not a man, no. You're not a man, no. You're the God of everything, no one like you.
Sing, no one like you.
You're not a man, no. You're not a man, no. You're the God who opens doors no man can shut. You're not a man, no, you're not a man, no. You're the God of everything, no one like you, no one, no one like you, Jesus, no one like you.
Counselor, Almighty God, the Prince of Peace. Of your kingdom there is no end. From generation to generation, the words of the Lord came alive through Scripture. And we remember all the good things you have done for us. You are our healer, our comforter, our deliverer. You fight for us. You're a man of war. You do great and mighty things for us. You protect us. And Lord, we just say, and you love us. And you say, surely mercy and goodness will follow us all the days of our life. We give you honor, O God. We give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. In the book of Isaiah, I'm just going to mention this before we pray for the children's ministry. Isaiah was a great prophet of the Lord. He had visions, and God spoke to him what to say. And as I open this book today, the Bible, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified, to build the old waste, to raise up the former desolations, that they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. He spoke of the coming Messiah. And those words are the same words in Luke 4, when Jesus went into the synagogue and picked up the scriptures there to read. He read them, and he sat down. And the people were all puzzled and amazed at him, because he was a carpenter's son. How could this man have such elegance in speech? And how can he declare this over his life and say that for himself, his ministry was starting? I just praise God that we have these prophets in the Old Testament. There was Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and other prophets. But they knew the word of the Lord which came to them. They were very attentive to the word, and they brought it forth. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for the people through generations you've used to speak the word of the Lord. And as we read the word, it comes alive in our own spirits. In the name of Jesus, we give you honor and praise, adoration, O God. You're worthy to be praised and worshiped. Your kingdom, there's no end. It says world without end. Thank you, Lord, for the provision that you give us and the comfort and peace that you give us through your Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus. I think now we'll pray for the children's ministry so they can attend the Sunday school class. And the Lord this morning gave me a word, and in it included the offspring. It says, but you shall be named, I'm praying this over the children, but you and the leaders and the team members, but you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. And verse 9 says, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. We thank you, Father, the blessings have been pronounced by the word of God over these children, Lord, that they are the head and not the tail. They excel above their classmates. They're blessed and they're coming in and they're going out. We thank you, Father. They are taught of the Lord, and great is their peace. We thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up in judgment against them, the words are condemned. God will contend with anybody that contends with these dear children. They are the apple of your eye. We thank you, Father God, they are the sweet aroma of Christ. They're strong in the Lord and the might of your power. We thank you, Father, they will not depart from their faith when they get old. Thank you, Lord, your way is the way of holiness. They go down the straight and narrow road. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise and honor and glory, and you grant them wisdom and stature with all men and God. Thank you, Jesus. In the precious name of Jesus, we thank you for these children. Amen. I'm going to be reading scripture verse from Isaiah 12. The things that the Lord has been ministering to me the last couple of days, praise the Lord, it came out in the song. All the words he's shown me, Lord, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Isaiah 12, verse 1. In that day, verse 2, pardon me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his works among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. When I search scriptures about the God of my salvation that will trust and not be afraid, it came to me about Moses. When they came out of the sea, and God had stricken all the enemies, Pharaoh's group, his army, his horsemen, and the chariots. He made a way in the sea for them to escape from the power of the enemy. When things look really tough, we have to remember that God is with us. He's on our side, and he will fight for us because it says in the Word, he is a man of war. And we don't know how he does those things, but he gets around it. So we thank the Lord for that experience that they had. And through that, they obtained strength, and they were praising the Lord for coming through those difficult times when Pharaoh was after them. Verse 3 says that, therefore with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. Well, when I think of wells, there's you think of water. Wells are very deep. And with God, things are very deep. In Psalm 42, it's 42, verse 1. This is just a short, very short message. As the hart, or as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? In verse 7 it says, deep calleth unto deep. All the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Coming into a place of desperation, where you don't know where to turn, and you just feel within yourself you cannot go on. Turn to the Lord. He is the resurrection and life. He brings that comfort. He brings healing to you. He refreshes you as you pray, as you read the word and praise his holy name. And he nourishes your spiritual soul. It is your soul that is tiring. And with the Lord, he can bring you up again. As we lift him up, as the song was Lift Him Up. We lift the Lord up in worship and praise. He is there for us. He's always been there from generation to generation, from the book of Genesis right through to Revelations. God is with us. He is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence in our life as you bring us through times and you heal us. And those that are oppressed, he says he gives beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We thank you, Father God, as we go into your word and go deeper with you, Lord, he will accomplish things in our life that we thought we could never do. In Ezekiel, it talks about going through the water from the ankles to the knees to the loins and over our head. And in the name of Jesus, I decree over you that you will come in such a wonderful, mature experience with God as you read the word and praise him, that you'll go to higher levels in him in the name of Jesus. You're encompassed by his spirit. You yield yourself as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. In the name of Jesus, you are not conformed to this world, but transformed by the word of God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for all that you're doing in our lives and all that you're going to do. In the mighty name of Jesus. And I just pray this over you, that the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, that their spirits, whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We are celebrating Thanksgiving today, vicariously with you, where we are, because we are ministering Thanksgiving to a family that have been faithful, committed to the things of God, and they called on us to come celebrate with them. And we are doing so today. But we are here with you. Let's get to the Word of God. The Bible says in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, beginning to read from verse 16, it says, rejoice evermore. What a powerful word. This falls in line with one of the shortest verses in the scriptures, in the Bible. Rejoice evermore. The shortest verse in the New Testament is Jesus wept. This is right next to it. The only reason it is not the shortest verse is simply because the letters are longer. But you can count this as also the shortest verse in the Bible. One, Jesus wept. The other one, rejoice evermore. Now there's a contrast there. Wept, rejoicing. What is God saying? Because the 18th verse says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Whether it be in the weeping or in the rejoicing. Give thanks. You know, we used to sing a wonderful song. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks. You see, God wants us to give thanks in everything. You may be in the weeping state in your life today because something went wrong. And yet God says, give thanks. The Bible says, enter into his gates, the gates of God, with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. The will of God concerning you is thanksgiving. Oh, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. And God says, give thanks. For God causes all things to work together for your good. I may not understand why things are happening the way they are happening in my life right this very moment, but God says, give thanks. Why? Because God is good. And his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Father, I don't understand what's going on. And he says, just be thankful. Why? Why? I'm going through a hard time right now. Why? And he says, just be thankful. For what? That you serve and have a good God. But something is not good happening in my life this very moment. And you know what? Many times, what is happening in my life or in your life, it's not exciting. But yet God says, give thanks during those times. Why? Because your thanksgiving is a conduit through which change concerning your situation takes place. God, I'm going through a rough time right this very moment, but I thank you, I'm still here. And I know, God, that you are taking care of this situation because I will rejoice. For the word of God says, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice over and over again. Rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoy yourself. Push on that button. I will rejoice. This is the day the Lord God Almighty has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. And pray without ceasing. But I've been praying. It says, pray without ceasing. You know, you and I don't know all that is happening on a daily basis in our lives. All you know is that you're going through trouble, but you don't know what God has been keeping you away from. Well, this is happening. Why do I have a flat tire? And you kick in your flat tire and your car and so upset when you should be giving God thanks, because maybe that flat tire just saved you from a fatal accident. And if you'd moved that vehicle, you would have collided, or somebody would have run a red light. Some drunk person driving crazily would have come and done something bad. But you're complaining. Complaining about this situation, because you and I think this situation is the beginning and the ending of everything, But God thinks differently. God sees differently. God perceives differently. God knows differently. And God is working out details in your life. Oh, how many times I have come back to say, God, thank you that what I was asking for, you did not give it to me when I asked for it. Thank you, Lord, for your grace that is sufficient. Thank you, Lord, for your present help in this time of trouble. But life is not just about trouble. It's not just about the days of weeping. It is also about celebration. And God is calling us to every aspect of life. You know, you are alive when the beeps are just bouncing all over the place. A flat line means you're dead. May you never flatline. But may you experience life. Life. Sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's cold. Life. God is calling you to experience life to the full. And it happens in a place of celebrating the goodness of God. A woman is going through the experience of pregnancy. And then it's the day of birthing. And things are expanding and contracting, and all kinds of things are happening. Expansion and contraction. But the end result is the birthing of a child, a son or a daughter. And all of a sudden, all of that pain is wiped away as she carries her baby. You know, the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, our Lord Jesus Christ endured the shame, the pain of the cross. Why should I be thankful? Because I allow myself to see beyond my problem. To seeing that there is a new day. An experience in God that will transform and change my story forever. The Bible tells us a story found in the Gospel of Luke, the 13th chapter. In fact, I just shared from this passage as I was ministering to doing a crusade via Zoom to a particular country this morning, or the morning when I'm recording this message. In Luke 13, beginning to read from verse 10, Luke 13 and verse 10. It says, and he, meaning Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath being the day of rest. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. This woman, the Bible says, when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. She glorified God. Well, that is not an exact word for the word thanksgiving. It is the word doxazo, but It is connected to the word thanksgiving. And we'll see that when we go to the book of Luke, chapter 17, in just a moment. The Bible tells us here, this woman had been bent over for 18 years. But you know what? She did not stop. Jesus did not meet her in her home. Jesus met her in the synagogue. It was not easy for her to leave her home and come to the synagogue. She had every reason not to come. But day after day, she still came. Weak, tired, in pain, mesmerized by the circumstances that faced her, she came anyway to the synagogue. She came to a synagogue that was, yes, was a place of ministry like the temple will be, but the synagogue also played a role, a dual role. It was a meeting place where people came and chatted and met with their friends and stuff like that. But on the Sabbath, all the chattering stops and the focus on hearing the word of God. And this woman came to hear what God would say to her that day. She'd come many times before, and she did not receive her healing. But her appreciation for God, in spite of her circumstance, brought her again to that place, to that synagogue that day. And it happened to be that Jesus was there. And she came, and where she was, Jesus located her. As I believe that the Lord is locating you today. You may have had issues that have been thronging you, that have been pushing you down, but you took time to come to the house of God today. I celebrate you for that. I celebrate the goodness of God in your life, because God is working in you, with you, through you, and you have embraced that love of God, and you came to the house of God today, not knowing what you should expect, not knowing if your problem is going to be solved, not knowing if God is going to touch you, but you came anyhow. You came because you just wanted to be in the house of God. Oh, my Father, I bless your holy name. You came. You are here. You did not come to meet with a man. You came to hear what God is going to say to you today. And I say to you, child of the Most High God, today God is bringing about a turnaround in your life, and you're going to have many reasons to give Him thanks, to give Him the glory that is due His name. Come into His presence with thanksgiving. Come into His presence with praise. Bless His holy name, for God loves you with an everlasting love. This woman came, and the Lord Jesus Christ spotted her where she was. And He spoke into her life. The Bible tells us this woman had been bent over this way for 18 years. 18. That is 9 plus 9, or 9 times 2. In other words, she's had double trouble, expecting deliverance, but she had been bound by the devil. The Word of God says she had been bound by Satan 18 years, when she should have had birth For 9 is a number of birthing and fruitfulness. Nothing happened. High expectations were dashed over and over again. That is what 18 years of bondage means. Expectations not being fulfilled. But in spite of her disappointment, she came anyhow. She came anyhow. And Jesus, our Lord, spotted her and says to her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmities." Notice, the Lord said, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." That which has held you in bondage, that which has kept you weak emotionally, kept you weak mentally, kept you weak physically, kept you weak financially, kept you weak in every area of your life. It says you are loose, you are free from it today. But she had to do something. For the word of God says, Jesus saw her and called her to him. And bent over, she came to where Jesus was. She came doing her best to look up. I'm sure she could barely see the face of the Lord, but she followed with what she had that was working, her hearing, and headed to where Jesus was. And when she got to where Jesus was, still bent over, the Lord touched her. As I believe that the Lord is touching you this very moment. And when the Lord touched her, because she obeyed the calling of the Lord to come, she received her freedom. The Lord says, "Come unto me, you that are weak and are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest." I don't know what you've been going through, but this is a day for you to express thanksgiving to God that you are still here in spite of your problems, that you are still standing in spite of all the issues that are trying to count you out, cancel you, trying to make you of no effect in your life. Today, God is speaking to you and He's saying, "Come to me." And saying to you, "Cast all of your burdens unto me. I care for you." This woman came to the Lord. The Lord laid his hands on her. And she straightened up. One moment, bent over. And the next moment, bing! Strength. The Bible says she could not, no matter how hard she tried, she could not. It was not from a lack of trying. She could in no wise lift up herself. Maybe you are in that particular place. You're trying, but your mind has been crushed by the forces of darkness for so long that you don't know if you are going to ever be free from the oppression of the enemy. It's not that you've not tried. You've tried over and over. It's not like you've not tried to live pure. You've tried over and over, but you've not been able to help yourself. It's not that you've not tried to be free from debt. You have tried, and the more you're trying, the deeper in debt you have gone. It is like sinking sand. Say, I don't judge people because I don't know what they have done or not done. See, sometimes people try and they've done everything they know to do and nothing has changed. She could not in any wise, no matter how hard she tried, no matter what, give her crushes so she can straighten up. Crushes didn't work. She was too weak. It didn't matter what she did. It may have not mattered what you've done for the longest time. But I say to you today, you are going to give thanks. God is going to take you from the place of weeping to the place of rejoicing evermore. Somebody shout hallelujah. This woman came, was touched by the Lord. May the Lord touch you right where you are today. May the Lord touch your generations. May the Lord touch your marriage. May the Lord touch your business. May the Lord touch your body. May He touch your mind. May He touch everything that concerns you. And may you spring forth with resurrection life today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, my sovereign Lord. Hallelujah. He laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight. May it become an immediate response. But you know what? The Bible says there was a ruler in that same synagogue. He was the ruler of the synagogue. Is he celebrating? No. The Bible says, answered with indignation. Answered what? Answered what? Was he answering? He's answering this celebration. You think when something good happens to you, everybody's going to celebrate with you. No, not everybody celebrates your miracle. This woman had been there for 18 years. Not received her miracle. And one shot, Jesus changes the trajectory of her life and she receives a miracle and the ruler of the synagogue is upset. But he's not bold enough to speak to Jesus. The Bible says, the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people. He didn't say to Jesus, he said unto the people. Chicken. He said unto the people. He's upset with the people that are celebrating the miracle of God. He's not in thanksgiving. He is in indignation. See, in that word, indignation is the word dignation, dignify. When you are not expressing thanksgiving to God, you undignify yourself. You reduce yourself. People who are expressing thanksgiving enhance their lives. That's right. They do not degrade their lives. They upgrade. Today, may you upgrade your life with thanksgiving unto God. No matter what you're going through, upgrade your life with thanksgiving. Thank God for His goodness. This man was in indignation and rebuking the people. Saying, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. Wait a minute. This was not a work day. This was a day for rest. And it is good for you to begin to declare My days of working are over. I come to the rest of God. Hallelujah. 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 Come to the rest of God. Man ought to work for 6 days. Tell every lying devil, this is the seventh day. I've done all the working I'm going to do. I've come to my seventh day. I've come to my rest. I've been in this mess for 18 years. I've been in this mess for 30 years. I've been in this mess for 50 years. I've been in this mess for 80 years. I am free today. I am tired of all the 6 days of work. I am coming to my rest because God has set me free. I am going to be free today. Shut up, lying devils. I don't care what you have to say about this situation. I am going to celebrate God. Let everybody who wants to celebrate God and give God doxazo today, bless the name of the Most High God who has loved me with an everlasting love. Come rejoice with me. I was once bound, but now I am free. I was once enslaved. Now I am no longer in slavery. I am free. Once in debt, but now I celebrate the prosperity of the Lord. The Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. This so-called ruler of the synagogue is upset. He says, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed. And not on the Sabbath day. Come get healed. But the Lord was not there. He's there now. Have you noticed that a lot of the miracles the Lord did, they always put that statement, and it was the Sabbath? Because God wants you to be free. It is his Sabbath. Do you know what the Word of God says? The Bible says that God worked for 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. Interesting. Come for 6 days. Those are the days of work. Come on those days to receive your healing. In essence, that synagogue ruler was saying, on this day of rest, don't give God a job. You missed the time for your deliverance. And I say to you, you did not miss your time of deliverance. Today is your day for deliverance. Hear the response of the Lord. The Lord then answered him. Because the Lord is not afraid of anybody. He answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? You hypocrite. Don't you take your animals out to get them water? Don't you walk them out? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? If you are able to take your animals out to make sure that they eat or drink, don't you think this daughter of Abraham is more deserving? God is saying the same thing to you today. I don't care what people are saying. I want you whole. If man can do the right thing on the Sabbath, God will do the right thing. And God is going to do the right thing by you today. He's saying to you, woman, man, thou art loose from thine infirmity. And as you're receiving this, begin even now to glorify God for his faithfulness. You see, that word, doxazo, is the same word that we see in the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter. Beginning to read from verse 11. The Bible tells us, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, the Lord is going to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. This is interesting. Because in John 4, the Gospel of John, chapter 4, and I'll come back to Luke 17. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, the Bible tells us that Jesus was coming through and is heading to Jerusalem. He says he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And then, verse 4 says, and he must needs go through Samaria. And there he met the woman. A woman that had been in bondage to immorality for the longest time, married so many people. Can you imagine? 2,000 years ago, a woman that was living out the lifestyle of people in the 21st century. Married, divorce, and now she was shacking up. She's had 5 husbands. 5 husbands. And now she was living with one that was not her husband. And Jesus met her and told her about the water of life. It is the same line that he's following in Luke 17. He's going to Jerusalem, but he comes through Samaria. The Samaritans were people that had Jewish blood, but were also Gentiles. They were mixed. And so they were a people that didn't have any placement. They were not fully Gentile. The Gentiles would not accept them. And at the same time, the Jews would not accept them. So they were all by themselves. And they had their own religious systems. But held on to a well, the well called Sychar. And Jesus is coming by, and he comes through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, they met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They were a distance away. And that was normal, because lepers were not supposed to hang around normal people. They were lepers. they're contagious. But they are afar off. But somehow, somewhere, the Bible says, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus located the woman in the synagogue. But here Jesus is going by, and these 10 locate him. Sometimes it's not about just God locating us. Sometimes it's us locating him, being aware of his presence. They weren't just arbitrarily just crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us, when Jesus was not there. They had a sensitivity that brought them into the awareness of the fact that Jesus, even though he was far away, was near. I don't know how it happened, but this I do know, that sometimes God will cause people that are far away to be aware of his presence, aware of his love, even though they are in a state where nothing like love is operating. Maybe you are in that state today. You can't identify him very physically because you're so far away. But there is something awakening inside of you that says, Jesus is here. God is here. Cry out to him. And as you hear that, feel that sensation, cry out to him right this very moment. Cry out to him and ask him to have mercy. It was not like there was a bullhorn being blasted all over the place. Jesus of Nazareth is coming through this place right now. There was nothing like that. It's not like they had, you know, an iPhone and they were surfing the net and they saw this image of Jesus on their iPhone and said, this is this area. No, there was something supernatural that was happening. And that supernatural thing is happening to you this very moment. There is an awakening inside of you that is calling you to the place where you declare and proclaim the name of Jesus. Jesus, Master, have mercy. And the Bible tells us, and when he saw them, they saw him before he saw them. Wow. It's a strange, strange setup. But now that he sees them, he's going to do something. He says to them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Whichever priest came to you and said that you are a leper and you need to leave, go show yourself to that priest. In the writings of Josephus, he mentions this particular story. You see, when the priest comes to you, because somebody may have tattled on you and said, priest, I think you need to go check that guy. I saw a funny spot on him. The priest will come. and you will bear yourself before the priest. And he will check every aspect of your body. And if he finds any spot on you that he deems to be leprous, he sends you away from your home and from society. And you can imagine what rage happens with people when the priest says, "You are a leper, go, leave." How angry people can become. Because now you're going to be separated from your family forever. Because who's going to come cleanse you? Who's going to come bring healing to you? What solutions do you have when you don't even believe that you're a leper, and now you've been declared a leper, not worthy to be amongst people, ostracized? And here Jesus comes and says to them from the distance. It's not like they came close. They're crying from wherever it was that they were. And he responds back to them and says, "Go show yourself unto the priest." And the Bible says that as they began to go, in obedience to the instruction, they were cleansed. The word is katarizo. They were purified. Their wounds on them healed. Josephus says that the nine that left, because they were not able to forgive the priest that said to them, "You are a leper, be gone," that those ones got back their leprosy. The Bible doesn't tell us that. This is outside. Josephus was a historian. He said those ones got back their leprosy. Why? Because of unforgiveness. You cannot truly be thankful if there is unforgiveness and wrath, bitterness inside of you. They lost their healing. But really, they should be thankful. Thankful to that priest. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean they should be thankful for the priest?" Well, because if the priest had not separated them from their family because of their leprosy, the family, all of the family, would become lepers. Everybody around them become lepers because they were contagious. They were carrying something that was going to hurt everybody. And even though the pain of separation took place, there was a place to be thankful. You know, sometimes you and I are going through rough experiences and we do not know why we're going through it. We have no clue why we're going through it. You thought, "This is going to be my husband," and you've started the process of dating and even planning on your wedding and whatever else, and all of a sudden the whole thing falls apart and you want to kill yourself. And you just feel like you're nobody and I'm nothing, because you've defined yourself by the basis of that man or that woman, when you should be saying, "Lord, I don't understand, but I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Maybe something, you have something better for me. That's why this happened." No, you are mourning and all messed up. You can't sleep. You can't do anything because you are so mesmerized by that situation. Meanwhile, God was setting you free and making you whole. God is on your side, child of God. The Bible says one of them came back. He says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, oh, thank God for his word. Listen, this is so powerful. This is so powerful. I want you to see this. He says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, the Bible says he saw that he was healed. Remember, they were going and catarizo, they're getting cleansed. Everybody was getting cleansed. But this one that was thankful saw that he was healed, not just catarizo, cleansed, which is another word for healing, because there are seven words that are used for healing in the New Testament. Catarizo is one of them. But this one saw that he was iomai. That is, that healing had truly taken place. He says he turned back and with a loud voice, doxazo, God. In other words, thanked God. Now, the reason you need to see glorified as being thankful here is the next statement that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to engage concerning what his actions were. It says, the Bible says, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him what? Thanks. He was giving him thanks. That was part of his glorifying of God. He gave thanks. But the Bible says, and he was a Samaritan. The person that didn't belong to any of the parties. Not totally Jew, not totally Gentile. Not accepted by the Jews, not accepted at the Gentiles. You all by yourself. And God is here to minister to those that are just all by themselves, alone, unaccepted by anybody. And he's saying, today is your day for your miracle. He glorified God, and Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where are the 9? Where are the 9 who should be birthing new life? Where are the 9 that are to be fruitful? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Catarizo, cleansed, healed, iomai, whole, sozo. That is the same word for salvation. Thy faith had saved you. Saved him from what? Your thanksgiving has saved you. Is it possible that this man actually went all the way to the priest that condemned him and said, listen, I hold nothing against you. Hear me, child of God. I hold nothing against you. You did me and my family a great favor when you said to me, I need to be separated. Because you saw the damage that my life was going to bring into the lives of other people. You saw it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And this is the offering. Yeah. Because you see, when you go back to the priest to be sanctioned and declared free, you are to come back with an offering. I know it. He had turned over an offering to that priest with thanksgiving and then turned around and came to the Lord Jesus. That's why the Lord Jesus asked the question. Where are the nine? Well, the nine had lost because they had unforgiveness. The nine had lost because they did not come with a thanksgiving offering to the priest. They lost. They were not whole. They lost. Today, may you not lose whatever God has for you. Come to God with thanksgiving. You see, there was a man at the beautiful gate who was born crippled. But he kept on going to that temple. Jesus came, healed in that temple at least twice, and this man missed his opportunity. And the Bible says, watch this, oh God. He says, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, with John said, look on us. And he gave it unto them, expecting to receive something. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones were received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. The Bible tells us that it was at the ninth hour that this happened. Do you see? Nine lepers, a woman that was crippled or infirm for 18 years, nine times two. The ninth hour, that's when they came, which was the time of prayer. This man gets healed. But he was born that way. What did he do? He proved by his action that he was not bitter towards God. He went into the temple of the God who said in his word, cripples not allowed in here. He was born that way, but he went inside that temple, walking, leaping, praising God. No matter what your situation today is, it's time to begin to give God praise. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. This is God's will concerning you and me. I thank God for the privilege accorded me today to share this word with you. I pray that we will be radical in our expressions of thanksgiving today, that all over this house and every house, wherever this voice is being heard today, that thanksgiving will be expressed to the Most High God. Receive your miracle and be blessed beyond measure. In Jesus' name, step into your days of supernatural fruitfulness and know the mercies of God. His word says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Psalm 103. Today, bless his name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He is the God who forgiveth thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, whatever the disease is. He is the God who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. He is the God who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Today, let this word be fulfilled in your life. I bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, I'm going to have